Georgia's first Ideal Church of Scientology opened its doors this month. The 45,000-square-foot mansion is located in Sandy Springs. That's just outside of Atlanta. Church spokeswoman Erin Banks spoke with Fox 5 Atlanta about the new church.
This is actually the newest Ideal Church of Scientology in the world. There are over 50 now. And an Ideal Church of Scientology is basically the realization of L. Ron Hubbard's vision for a Scientology church. So it's a church that not only can service the parishioners and Scientologists, but is a community home.
So Banks mentioned Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard there. We'll kind of learn more about him in a moment. But that sense of community she describes resonated with Joseph Bell of Atlanta. He first learned about the church in the mid to late 1980s.
There's no initiation where you just become a Scientologist, you know, kind of thing. You know, I mean, because I was Christian or just basically a non-denominational type of character, you know, just interested in knowledge on life. There wasn't any kind of time that I sort of became a Scientologist. It's more so that I was more committed to it, the more that I understood what it really was. You trust more the more you understand.
We asked Joseph Bell what it is about Scientology that really draws him.
I just extremely enjoy the humanitarian things that they do for the environment, with crime or illiteracy, you know, drug rehabilitation. These things are tools that I could use to help someone else. So when I found out more information about the mind and the spirit that I wasn't taught in school, it interested me.
Now, Bell is African-American, and that puts him in the minority. He says in the past few years, though, he has seen more diversity in his church.
Man, these are good times right now, because I was in Scientology back in the day when there was hardly nobody black. What I like to see now is that I'm not the only black person. There are a lot of black people that know about this. And it's very beneficial for our community and for other churches as well to, you know, to work together to make a difference, to do things that I'm certain that Martin Luther King, I'm certain that Malcolm X would stand for.
That's up for debate, I'm sure, but I'm joined now by journalist Tony Ortega. He runs a blog that is dedicated to Scientology. It's called The Underground Bunker, and he joins me on the line from California. Hi, Tony.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Can you explain the name of your blog, The Underground Bunker? Why is it called that?
Yeah, it just I was the editor-in-chief of The Village Voice, and I was writing a lot about Scientology. I've actually been studying and writing about Scientology for 20 years, but while I was at The Village Voice several years ago, I just sort of joked that I was writing from an underground bunker because Scientology has a reputation for being very tough on journalists, and it just sort of stuck. So I left The Voice, I wrote a book, I started this my own website, and so I gave it that name just, you know, because I knew my readers would find that familiar.
Now, when you say they've been tough on journalists, they've sued over half of them.
Oh, much worse than suing. I mean, my book is called The Unbreakable Miss Lovely, and it's about Paulette Cooper, who wrote one of the first books about Scientology in 1971 and nearly paid for it with her life. At one point, she was facing 15 years in federal prison for a crime she did not commit but was framed for by Scientology's spy organization. And, you know, Scientology is probably the only church in the world that has its own spy organization, but they do. And they've, you know, smeared journalists. They've really tried to mess with their lives. A man just went to prison recently for trying to illegally hack me on behalf of the Church of Scientology. So they're still attempting to do illegal things to people that write about the organization.
Now, you're joining us by Skype. I hate to joke about this, but you're not hidden somewhere, right? I mean, are you fearful for your own safety?
I'm actually in Los Angeles right now. I covered a court hearing in a Scientology lawsuit yesterday here, and I'm staying with my mother, who has been harassed and spied on by the Church of Scientology. And they're probably outside watching right now.
So I want to go back. One of the reasons that we were interested by this story of Scientology opening a church just outside Atlanta is because Scientology isn't, at least in the popular sphere, associated very much with people of color, and it's not often associated with Southernness either. How does Scientology do? Do we have a good idea at their demographics?
Scientology is very white. It's very white, and it's getting older and older. You know, Scientology has never had the numbers that it claims. My sources include top former executives who had access to enrollment documents. And they tell me that at its greatest height, around the year 1990, Scientology had about 100,000 people around the world. I just talked to an executive who left just 2 years ago who said that, and he also had access to enrollment documents. And he said that number is down now to less than 20,000 people around the world. It's a tiny organization, and it's always been very white, tends to be up middle class or upper middle class, because Scientology is very, very expensive. This David Miscavige, the leader of the church, has tried to increase black involvement, and that has resulted in the strangest new relationship between the Church of Scientology and the Nation of Islam. Minister Louis Farrakhan has embraced Dianetics and has urged all of his followers to get trained in Dianetics, which is the first sort of step on the road to Scientology. And so
that's the book written by L. Ron Hubbard back in, I think, 1950. The subtitle was Modern Science of Mental Health. Go ahead.
May 1950. That's the book that started all this. L. Ron Hubbard came out with that book and said he had figured out the human mind for the first time. And yeah, it was very popular at first. And that book encourages you to clear away the traumatic memories from your earlier life just by simply sitting down and talking with another person. Later on, he developed something he called Scientology, which involves you trying to find traumatic memories from past lives, and it involves the use of an electronic meter. But that first book doesn't require that. It's very inexpensive, and the Nation of Islam has embraced that. Now, I haven't seen any true merging of those two organizations. I don't really see Nation of Islam members becoming members of Scientology's C organization, which is sort of their clergy. But they have definitely increased black involvement because of that partnership between those two groups.
Sorry, are you moving around there, I guess. What about Southern culture? Because, look, I'm from California. We did have a large number of facilities, Scientology facilities, around Los Angeles, where I grew up. But what kind of inroads has Scientology made into other areas of the country, especially the South?
It's not only almost non-existent in the South. David Miscavige himself said something really remarkable when he opened that new church the other day. One of our readers actually got a vantage point across the street and videotaped his entire speech, which we've never been able to do before. And so I posted that video on my website along with a transcription of what he said. And here's something he said during his speech, talking to the people in Atlanta. He said, "You are recently comprised of but a resolute few, and Southern wings have not yet stirred." That's an incredible.
Could you repeat that for me?
"You are recently comprised of but a resolute few, and Southern wings have not yet stirred." You have to understand, for David Miscavige to basically admit there are almost no Scientologists in Georgia is incredible. But it's the truth. There are just a very few number of Scientologists. Some of them are very wealthy. They're the ones who paid for this building something like 9 years ago. They bought it, and it took them forever to renovate it and open it. And I think there are probably maybe 200 Scientologists in the entire Southern United States. I mean, it's just not popular there. It's not very popular anywhere. The two places where you might actually run into a Scientologist in the street are in Los Angeles and the Clearwater area in Florida. You're not going to run into Scientologists anywhere else. And as far as, like, you know, is there a Southern flavor to it or anything? Each of these ideal orgs are beautifully renovated. They put a ton of money into it, and they always try to give it some local touches. So I have no doubt that people who go into the Atlanta org will see that they have made an attempt to try to blend in with Southern culture. But it's really important to remember something about Scientology. One of the most basic concepts of Scientology is that they call it standard technology delivered standardly. And what that means is they are following the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard to the letter. And the exercises they do, the courses they take, are going to be exactly the same whether it's in Tokyo, Japan, or Oslo, Norway, or, you know, Athens, Greece. And so even though they might have some superficial touches to try to convince you that they're somehow adapting to Atlanta and the South, they really aren't. If you're a Scientologist, you do Scientology the way L. Ron Hubbard described it.
If you're just joining us, my guest is journalist and blogger Tony Ortega, and we are talking about the very first ideal Church of Scientology that opened its doors this month just outside Atlanta in Sandy Springs. And we'd love to hear from you. If you have an opinion, you can tweet us at OST Talk or join the conversation happening at Facebook. When you're talking about the following exactly the principles of L. Ron Hubbard and his book Dianetics, how different are these principles? Obviously, the South is largely, historically and even today, largely Christian. That's the vast majority Sure. of religious people in the South. How Sure. different are the principles of Scientology from the Christianity many people here are familiar with?
Couldn't be more different. You know, Scientology in a Christian church or a Jewish synagogue or, you know, a mosque.
Buddhist temple, yeah.
You go into a sanctuary and you have a leader who wants to make you feel part of something larger and tells you a story about something that happened 2,000 years ago on another part of the earth. And you all sort of learn from this idea of being part of a larger group. Scientology could not be more different. Scientology is about you and an auditor. It's just one-on-one. They put together
auditor,
a chapel.
Auditor, you said auditor.
Auditor is just someone who listens. And it's basically their version of a counselor. They have a chapel. They put on a Sunday service. It's just for PR. What Scientology is you sit down with your auditor, and the auditor asks you questions about you, your life, and your memories. It's all about you. And it's very exciting for some people, the idea that there are these mysteries of the universe contained within your own past. And you're trying to remember things that happened to you, not just when you were a child, but when you were somebody on another planet billions of years ago. And they believe that they're able to accurately recall those memories with the use of this machine that they're holding that supposedly reads their minds. And so it's all about you. It's very narcissistic, and it's got nothing to do with God or religion or prayer. In fact, L. Ron Hubbard is on tape saying that Jesus Christ never existed. And Scientology will tell you that you can still be a Christian and be a Scientologist, or you can be a Jew and be a Scientologist. But the truth is, very soon after you get into it, they start talking to you about dropping what they call other practices. And it is not compatible with other belief systems.
Do they proselytize, though? Are we supposed to recruit new members? Are we supposed to see this church in Atlanta as an attempt by the church to bring in Southerners, to bring in people of color?
Absolutely. They have a whole division that they call Division 6, which is reaching out to the public. And they have very, again, everything standard. They're going to reach out to you the same way they do in New York or Portland or Minneapolis. They have just routines they do. They'll put out a table and put up a sign saying free stress test or free personality test. Learn about yourself. Again, it's all about you. And they want you to come in and take a test. They tell you a lot of things about it being an applied philosophy, helping you unleash your potential. They're not going to tell you that if you get into it deeply enough, you'll eventually be paying hundreds of dollars an hour for counseling that helps you remove the remaining dead souls of aliens that are attached to you, which is what you do in the upper levels. They never tell you what's coming down the road until you're well indoctrinated. But yes, they will be reaching out. They will be setting up tables. This particular ideal org they opened in is in a really unfortunate place. There's no foot traffic. I actually got a photograph recently where they had a single staff member standing out on the street there in Sandy Springs with a sign pointed at traffic saying open house. I guarantee you that place is going to be just completely empty and will generate no new members.
So if you are a member of the Scientologist Church and you are poor or you become poor, do you get dropped?
Well, there's an option. First of all, they don't want you if you're poor. They don't want you if you're disabled. They don't want you if you have debts. Which they check out. I mean, that's
they do a background check on perspective.
They absolutely do. But one option you can have if you don't have a lot of money is you can join staff, or you can join what's called the C organization, which is the most hardcore inner group. You have to sign a billion-year contract, but if you join the C org,
wait, is that a joke? Billion?
No. It says I commit myself for the next billion years, because I don't know if I explained this. The basic beliefs of Scientology is that we're immortal beings called Thetans that just happen to be walking around in this current body, but you've lived countless times in the past, you'll live countless times in the future. And so once you join the Sea Org, you're basically promising that you will come back lifetime after lifetime to serve Scientology for the next billion years. And you know, theoretically, your courses are free if you do that. Okay, then you can take these really expensive courses for free. The problem is, if you join the Sea Org, you're going to be working 112 hours a week for about 40 cents an hour. And you won't be seeing any of your family or friends for the next, you know, years. You get maybe 2 or 3 days off a year. So yeah. They just literally don't have time to take these courses. I've talked to people that were in the Sea Org for 15 years who had still never even gotten into the middle courses of what's called going up the bridge because they just didn't have time.
And we'll have to end it there, but it's fascinating. That is journalist Tony Ortega. He covers the Church of Scientology, and he's been doing it for 20 years. His blog is called The Underground Bunker. Tony, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on.